this is the first time we've had a moment to sit down and talk about the Body Six group. I want to compare notes. I can't, the whole thing's a blur.
I know. I was just thinking that I have no memory of what I said about how I felt about my body or my orgasms. I draw a complete blank.
I remember you saying something about the aging process and how you're learning to accept it and accept your body as an older body.
I did talk about
that. Yes.
Oh, thank the goddess. I didn't want to just go over it. I know that I was so uptight about being in front of a camera. If I was that way at 60, when I was still in, you know, lively.
Good shape.
And
yeah,
good,
no.
And in good shape. Actually,
a 22-year-old boy toy. Of course you're in
good
shape.
No, that was when I was 70. I was in better shape in my 70s than I was at the beginning of my 60s.
Because you were doing hip replacement.
Because I was so in agony with hip. And then that got fixed at the end of my 60s. So literally my 70s was a rebirth. And I felt great. And then I did cosmetic surgery when I was 72.
Had a facelift.
Ooh la la. I was sailing, baby. And now in my 80s.
That's why I thanked you and Sheila. Was it the first share or the second share? And I just said, I know it's hard for me to be naked on camera. So I said, I want to thank both of you. I felt, you know, I wanted a diversity of age.
And we had two people. No, we had to have it.
We had to have it. And then we had two people drop out in their 50s and 60s. And so it ended up being you in your 80s, Sheila in her 70s, and all these women that were like 30-somethings. And I think it was perfect because it was like you were modeling.
We were the crones.
And several of the women said that it was so nice to see you and Sheila naked and being sex positive and talking about your sex history.
And also remember that Sheila is 13 years younger than me. So that's a big chunk, big difference. It's more than a...
And you said you missed her. That was so sweet. You were like, I really missed hanging out with you, buddy. It was so...
No, she'll always be very special.
And for those of you who don't know, Sheila worked with you when you were doing the groups.
In the beginning of the workshop, she was my buddy, boy, supporting me 100%. And I still will say it, I'll never forget when we did that thing with Now.
Well, I can't believe we found the transcript from Now's first and only sexuality conference in 1973, the year I was born, and we pulled that out for the interviews. That, I can't wait to see that footage. And I love your the best line in your speech. It was when you said you got up and you're like, oh, I'm so excited. I've never seen 1,000 women in one place. Oh, my heart is pounding. I think I'm lubricating. And then you see parentheses and it's like applause, laughter.
Yeah. No, the audience went wild with that.
You got a standing ovation.
Ah, that's such a good feeling when you get in front of a group. If you can get that response, then you're home. There's no, you're up and running. But you never know. It's a crapshoot every time.
Katie went crazy when she saw that transcript. She's like, that's going on camera. I can't wait to see the footage. I'm trying not to hound her.
Well, it's like I went from that, the week that was, to say nothing of the weeks prior with all that tension.
Well, this has been a six-month lead-in because we were doing the Kickstarter, and I started casting for this almost a year ago. I sent out the first emails to our bloggers. And anyone I thought might be interested, like Davina, it was a long process.
Oh, totally. And for me, it's, I had rehearsed it for 25 years. But, when it came right down to it, I altered it a lot on the spot.
I know. A lot of things
I left out.
We did nose penetration, though. I love that ritual where you penetrate your nasal passage with your finger.
See, everyone does this.
They don't go flat against their face.
It's very interesting. And even after you say it, you have to demonstrate. Because this is going to be,
if you just take your finger and poke it in your nose, it hurts. It's poking.
But I think this is, and it's relative to penetration.
Well, I think that's how most guys fuck you. They poke.
Well, so we're just used to poking. No, darling, no. But it was just going from that the following Monday to go down to City Hall for jury duty?
Yes, it's definitely a vortex.
I thought, what is this? I'm being tested? what's going to keep me from dropping dead of a heart attack from just overexertion? But I think I got stronger.
I think you did too. I can see it in you. And, you know, I think for everyone in the group, going through the process, we shot for a week. Sheila was at your house. I had three women at my house. One woman was local. I know I've changed. Like, there was a shift. I feel like there was a shift with everyone in that circle.
Oh, no, we all had a transformation, major.
And it wasn't just doing the Body Six group. I mean, that's one piece of it. But it was like, we're putting this on film to get this message mass. So it was like, everyone was emailing me saying like, oh, I've been so blissed out. I've been so happy. I've been so like relaxed and sleeping well and smiling and happy.
I wish I could feel that too right now.
We'll feel that when we see the footage.
Yeah, I have to see.
Because
we were
doing interviews the whole time and the behind the scenes stuff. So they were doing like a documentary on us doing the Body Sex group. We're here for a week, all hanging out. And we were all walking around naked the whole time. That was the best part.
Well, see, the nudity is very healing. There's no question about it.
And that no one felt upset about it. I noticed a difference in the crew.
I didn't get that.
I noticed a difference in the crew from the days when we were interviewing to when we were doing the group and naked. And we would just stay naked all day. It was hot under the lights. There was no reason to put clothes on.
Well, when you're nude, you have nothing to hide.
Is it that it's yeah. The honesty?
Yeah. You can't, the pretension is gone. The minute we get dressed and fix our hair and put on makeup, we have, you know, we've got a cover
story. It's armoring.
We got a cover story.
And how crazy was General Show and Tell? Oh my God. I can't wait to see that footage. Every vulva style. And the clit on Sheila? When Sheila came out and showed her clit, like was sitting next to you and you saw the clit, every woman leaned in. We were all like, who knew? Even you said it got bigger.
Well, you know, I don't remember.
I was trying to think of my ex-husband's penis the other day and I couldn't. You forget.
I don't remember that.
There's been a lot of pussies between Sheila and today.
Well, no, I haven't done any sessions, but it's that's interesting because I always had the biggest clit, so maybe I blocked it out, and mine had shrunk, so it's like I'm repressing the memory that hers was so large.
With those little lips, this big clit and these little.
Well, she has those small little inner lips that are, she really is the...
What'd you call her, Danish modern?
I think she's, it was...
Art Deco?
Classical.
Classical.
She has the classical vulva. It's the one that everyone wants with the little symmetrical inner lips and the nice defined shaft and a good size clitoral glands. Really, I'm blocking because... Joan McElroy down the hall was the only one who ever had a bigger clit than me. I miss you, Joan.
God damn it.
So my problem, another one, was that I simply could not masturbate before the group. I wanted to get a few orgasms in front of the group.
But you know, on the YouTube clip where you said you didn't have an orgasm, several people emailed me and were like, I can't believe Betty had the honesty to say she didn't have an orgasm.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful moment, though, because I think a lot of women, even if you haven't had one, you're just going to lie and say you did. So it's like, always be honest.
Well, look, at 83 or 82, I'm going to drop the getting ahead of myself these days. I decide 82 is adequate. I'm not going to do, I'm 82, but I'm in my 83rd year.
Really?
I'm just going to go 82. That... A woman of my age who's doing what I'm doing, even I know that it is outstanding. Outstanding.
I felt like every moment of that week was perfection. There wasn't anything I would change. There wasn't one moment of tension, nothing that went wrong that we couldn't fix. Like, everything went like clockwork. actually. Energy was right. And I have never worked on a project. And I've raised $1 billion on Wall Street. I've done other films. I've done all of this thing.
You got to stop saying that. It's really bad for your reputation.
Well, no. I mean, at a time that funded a company that still survived today. No way. I don't think I wasn't a broker. I was raising money for real companies. And during the internet boom, there were a lot of amazing companies that have changed the landscape. Absolutely not. I'm not embarrassed about that. But what I'm saying is that I've done these large projects, and I've never worked on something that had such pure energy, that was so positive for everyone involved in every step of the process.
Every step.
Each person, like, we had the wrap party, everyone from that crew showed up.
It's true.
All the way to my house in Dumbo. You know what I mean?
Well, think about it. Do you see how I could continue to do this every month for 25 years?
It's addictive.
Oh, it was heaven. I would always hate it in advance. Oh, got to do another group this weekend. Oh, I hate it. Because the signing women up and the, you know.
The admin.
That's always a drag. And it's a lending. And then the preparation, getting the apartment clean. Making sure I had the towels and the pillows and the, you know, all of this. It was just...
Well, I did that this time.
Well, when I was doing it alone, it was labor-intensive.
Yeah, no, it is. I was all over the place trying to find the right towel and the right pillow. And
then after a group, I sometimes get one of the women to stay and help me, but I remember many times I take the towels down to the laundry room.
Yeah, you
gotta
wash them. Yeah.
And do the laundry and then put things away. And then for the next 2 days, I was unable to move. And particularly in when I was in my 60s with the hip problem, I'd go waddling down the hallway to the incinerator room, and Joan would see me, and she'd say, "Oh, I see you did a group this weekend," because I would be literally crippled from the exertion of it.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of energy that you're putting out. It's interesting, though. I feel so bonded to each woman in that circle. And yes, because it's the group, but also because, you know, you've created something that's going to go out and create a ripple. And we still don't know how big that ripple is going to be.
I'm looking for a tsunami.
But it was an interesting, like, to take two events and put them side by side. I had been at my sister's baby shower and, like, the rejection. And then here I am, you know, most of those women we've never met before. And to feel that instant connection and that sisterhood. Because we're all like-minded. We're there for the same purpose. We're putting our clits on the line.
Literally. I mean, actually. Actually, exactly.
Each one of those women took me aside and said how they loved spending time with you and Sheila. Because it was the conversations and the experiences that they always wanted from the women in their family. That they never got.
From the mother figure or the auntie or...
Grandma, what Nana, whatever you want to call her. Sharing your knowledge, your sexual knowledge.
Well, of course, Sheila is a wealth of health information as well. She's really an extreme healer.
I think all the women in the circle are healers.
Well, on some level, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Even our little D is an artist, and this is just the beginning of her.
I so enjoyed Davina. I don't know what it was. We just bonded, and I just had the best time with her. I just love her. I love her so much.
I know, because I was so confused about her in the beginning.
You did. You questioned a little bit her participation.
Well, yeah, I couldn't figure it out. She wanted to come in so strong, and then she didn't show up, or she faded away, or what? I don't remember what happened, but.
She came back with a vengeance.
Well, did she not? Yes, indeed.
She was the only woman in the circle that you let use a Hitachi. We all used the mystic wand, and she's like, oh, no.
Well, you know what I decided? I thought, this is a problem for so many women that they come lying on their stomachs. And I had this conversation with Davina. I said, are you interested in learning to have another kind of orgasm? Nope. Loves the one she has, and she gets the guys to work with her. And she showed me how she'd lie on her stomach getting an orgasm. And
so everyone knows, she lies on the Hitachi.
Lies on top of it. And then she showed me how she has the guy come up and he has his legs on either side of her and she's giving him a blowjob.
What guy wouldn't want that? End of day. Why would you change the way you fuck?
That's what she likes to do. And I'm thinking, cool, baby. Oh, and the other thing is that she can, the guy can enter her from behind lying on top of her while she's lying on her top. So she
and
can,
then didn't she say once that she sometimes she puts the vibrator on the guy's ass and is on top of it? What did she?
Oh, there was another one.
There was another one, another configuration where she's like, I put the vibrator on his back and then I lie on top of it.
Oh, on, yes. She puts it on his ass cheeks.
Yeah.
But I get, you know, her down, so that would be above his balls and dick. And the vibe is strong, so it would be going through his anus.
That feels good.
Testicles and dick. And then she climbed, and then she's on top of him, pushing into him.
The best story she told me at the rap party is we were commiserating about, you know, when you're a woman and you're sex positive and you're comfortable in your sexuality and you bring a guy home. You know, they come in your bedroom and they see shit, or you try, bring out some toys, and there's that like, oh, you know, oh, you're experienced, you know, because they're raised to think they want the virgin, because then they're just worried about barebacking. So the woman doesn't really like sex, and they'll stick it in without a condom. Anyway, so she's describing to me her bed. And she's like, I have all the, and she built it. You know, she's an artist, does sculptures and all kinds of like big metal things. So it's all these slots of wood that she painted white. And then in the middle of it, she's like, I have something. It's a mirror in the shape of like a cone. Like a candy corn. And I'm like, really? And she had a picture on her phone. I'm like, show me. She showed, it was really beautiful. She likes to watch herself orgasm. So she said the last time she hooked up with a guy, she brought him back to her apartment and they go in her bedroom and he takes one look at the mirror and he looks at her and he's like, we're going to use a condom, right?
Yeah, I'm going to put it over your head.
And I think that's like that whole double standard thing, where it comes from. It's like, it's okay for the guy to have a dirty dick and have experience, but then he wants to stick it in a pristine pussy. So that way, so in a way I was like, well, Davina, that kind of works for you. Because that way you don't have to deal with, you know, put a condom on.
Which she does.
But you know when sometimes you have to struggle? The guy's automatically going to suit up. He's going to take one look at that bed.
So they figure she's experienced. They got to use a condom. She's a skanky hoe, and she's been around the block.
And she's if got anyone's, that big Hitachi.
And if anyone's going to have a disease, it'll be some chick like that.
So stupid.
Oh, I really, you know, I really am grateful for the time that I was really sexually active with numbers, with lots of different people, when there was no disease. And see, the point of my saying that is that we can return to that, that a large portion of these diseases are manufactured. They're made up and they're publicized and they are blown up to keep people fearful.
You use a condom because you don't want to die, but at a certain point, like, people get all freaked out. If you get a cold sore in your mouth, do you freak out? If you get a wart on your foot, do you freak out?
A lot of people do.
But now there's a stigma, right? Oh, you got it on your genitals, and it's like a big problem.
I'm so sick of herpes being a sexual disease.
Please.
A cold sore on
I've had sex with people with herpes, and I've never gotten anything. They don't have an outbreak, and I know this is definitely controversial, but I haven't.
I had sex for 10 years with a person who didn't have herpes. And I do, and he never had it.
You just have to be smart about it.
Yeah. You don't have sex when you have an active sore. Big deal.
I think the problem is that most people go out, have a few drinks, they're half in the bag, and then they finally can be sexual. So that's a problem, because then you're not self-aware, and you're not aware of what's going on, and you're not, the lights aren't on, you know what I mean? I think not acknowledging our sexual selves is what perpetuates STDs.
Sexual ignorance. Sexual repression. Absolutely. Yep.
I miss them.
I know.
We're going to do a yearly, I think, event. We all get together for Body 6 Week, because it's a great way to commemorate 9/11. I didn't even realize that we booked this. From the 12th to the 16th, like the week of 9/11.
speaking of 9/11, I love the way the information about the towers is seeping into the culture. Oh, drop by drop. There was this, when I go on Truth Out and I read the different stories, and I really like to read all of them. I mean, I have to pick and choose because of a time constraint. But I love, after I've read the person's article, the comments. I learn a lot from the comments. And then you'll get these people going back and forth. And it's once they start going back and forth, the idiots are soon
fleshed
to be
out.
Totally fleshed out. So this one guy, he kept saying, "Prove it." And the response of the people coming down, and the response to, you know, it couldn't be an inside job because the government is too stupid. Hello? Are you kidding me? And so it's the people, and then Wall Street.
Well,
Occupy Wall Street is the most exciting thing.
I think people only take things for so long, and I think everyone's tired of the sexual repression of the Christian religious right and everything that happened, and the attack on Planned Parenthood. You know what I mean? Is it, when Katie was asking me what I hoped, you know, she asked all of us at the end of the interview, what do you hope from this body sex group? What do you hope will happen? All of a sudden my eyes teared up and I was just like, you know, we're supposed to be living in the most progressive part of the world for women, right? And still, I see the questions come in and women don't even know how to bring themselves to orgasm. Women don't appreciate their bodies. They don't know the most basic information.
At all.
And then add on top of it the 140 million women that have had their clitorises cut off, child prostitution, child brides, that you can kill your wife in half of the world and it's fine. It's not even a crime. You can't even rape your wife in some states in the United States. I'm like, why can't we just be happy? Why can't we be full individuals? Why is that such a fucking problem?
Why is it?
Why can't we have transparency in our government? Why can't we have fairness in our economy?
Because a few control many. And it's done through authoritarianism. So we give the power away. We give our power away. Most of these questions coming in from these young women, they're way too concerned about their boyfriend and hurting his feelings.
Well, look at Cosmo, every cover. How to please your man.
How to.
Since you're a little kid, you get the message loud and clear. You're not worth the same amount as a boy.
And this is your most progressive so-called country.
This is the best.
And it's not that good.
Right? So if we're saying this is the best, you know, 2011, what the fuck?
And it's not that good.
We still make 75 cents on the dollar. We do 80% of the household duties. And I said, for the first time in the history of abortion and restrictions on abortion, for the first time, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg said this, there was a restriction on abortion that did not include an exception for the woman's life. That has never happened historically. For me, that was like a fucking knife in the chest. A woman isn't as valuable as a fetus. Now, are the situations very, very rare that you're going to be in a late-term pregnancy? And it can happen. But the fact that it can happen, and that is law, sends a message.
I wish women would hear it, honey. I wish they would really hear it and really get it. And the problem with this new generation coming up, as long as you're sexually repressed, you cannot claim your power. And so all of the work that we did as feminists in the 70s has totally been undone. Absolutely, totally been undone, and has gone, as far as I'm concerned, the repression today is more severe than it was when I was growing up in the 40s and 50s.
Because you didn't have AIDS. So now you have that on top of it to scare.
On top of everything. And the unhealthy atmosphere of all the crap they're pumping into the, you know, into the air and the water and the ground.
Well, young girls are reaching puberty at 9 and 10, and they're not getting any sex ed.
And
then they're supposed to wait till they get married at 25 or 27, which is the national average, and be virgins?
It's the hormones from produced goddamn chickens and what they pump into the animal products. Hormone.
Of course.
So the kid, these young girls ingest it?
So think about it, it's even worse. Like, we're making our children hit puberty younger, and then we're sexualizing them in all of the imagery and pop culture. They're sexualized.
And not teaching them how to protect themselves against unwanted pregnancy.
And at the end of the day, that cuts women the hardest. It
yep.
just does. So then we get to live in poverty. We get to raise the next generation.
I know, honey.
Why can't we be happy?
Well,
that's how I ended my interview. I was like, why can't we be happy? And I didn't feel like I had to say anything above that. It's that simple. These are fundamental rights.
That we don't have.
That we don't have.
So what does that mean?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In my mind, that means I know about my body. It means intentional motherhood. I can choose when I want to become a parent. I can pleasure myself. I can fuck who I want. I can move where I want, live where I want, have the job I want.
No, you can't. No, you can't. I mean, you can.
But
no,
it was
you
a
can't either.
No, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. I mean, I'm doing what I'm doing because I grew up in a repressive home. And I didn't get information. I was taught at home. You think there was sex ed class? I mean, let's be real.
No, but I got to give your mom credit. She was better than most mothers and most teachers.
You know what I realized when they were interviewing me? And Katie was really good because she just kind of asked you open-ended questions and just let you go.
Let you hang yourself.
And she asked me, she's like, well, what did your dad talk to you about sex and your mom talk about you? And I remembered how I initiated my own sex ed because I was a big speller. And if I heard I was a spelling bee champion as a little kid. And if I heard a word, I wanted to know how to spell the word. And I wanted to know what the definition was. So I heard the word masturbate or masturbation from my babysitter one night talking to her girlfriend on the phone. So a couple of days went by and I asked my dad, I'll never forget this. I said, Dad, there's this word I want to know how to spell. And I want to know what it means. What's masturbation? I said, well, honey, that's when you'd rather stay home than go out on a date.
No, stay home and have a better time than going out on a date. You left
he's like,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, and you won't spend any money. And I was like, oh, all right.
I'm going to stay home tonight.
And I did the same thing with my mom with clitoris. I heard the word. I was like, what's clitoris? What is it? And she did say, that's how you feel pleasure during sex. So even though all those other things were there, that basic information was there.
Yeah.
And you had your tickle.
Yes, I had a tickle. Mother said, it feels good, doesn't it, honey? Yeah, it feels good. That's nice. That's nice, she said. Well, we repeat it. When we first got together, Carlin, we were very clear that we wanted to reinvent, reestablish feminism on a sexual basis.
I think we did it. In that film, I feel it. Like, I feel a sense of completion. And you said it because I'm like, I feel this peace. And you're like, it's completion.
I see. I don't feel it yet. As an artist, I have to see the visual.
Well, I watched some of the footage and I was very happy. Everything was with three cameras from different angles. And the way it was lit and the caliber of everything, it exceeded my expectations. Some of the stuff was just beautiful.
The one thing I did see that Sayaka sent a photograph of Sheila and I being interviewed back here in this room. Every ounce of my apartment was crammed with equipment and lights. And it looks like a film studio.
It was. And we recorded the behind the scenes. Like, everyone's hanging out and eating lunch and coming back in and out. It was so much fun. I don't know how we can fucking top it.
Oh, we can. Then I'll be able to understand that it can happen again because I just couldn't visualize. For me, it's all about being able to visualize something.
Oh, I gotta tell you the Jackie stories. I know I told it rap party night when we were like totally looted. So we're all talking about what are we gonna put over your mantle because there's the big mirror. You're gonna be sitting on the floor, so it's definitely gonna be in the shot.
I didn't like that at all.
It looked awesome. You gotta remember, things don't look good in real life, but they look good on camera. So Claudine was like, well, do you have any art? And I thought, oh, I could go to the storage thing in Chelsea. And I'm like, ugh, that's going to be so much work. And I don't know. And it was just like, oh, no.
Well, no, what scared the shit out of me was you were going to take down the mirror.
I know.
It's 6 by 6 foot
so
square.
So then I was like, Jackie, because I remember the photograph, because I pulled all those photographs to give Katie to put in the documentary. And there's one of you in the robe with the perm, and you got the real Jackie over your fireplace, and then you got all those metal cunts, vulvas.
Circled.
The circled, and that's why I thought, oh, Jackie, I'll bring Jackie in. So
she was dwarfed in that.
No, but it looked great. It was perfect because she ended up getting in every shot because she was larger and the real scale. So these are the prints that we did for your Kiki party. And it's on plexiglass, so it's very easy to move around the city. So I remember in the morning, I was like, don't forget Jackie. So I got Leandra and Sayaka and Marisa with me. And I'm like, okay, guys, we're going to go. So in the morning, I would just take a cab. It was actually cheaper than taking the subway, and we get there faster, blah, blah, blah. So I have Jackie under my arm, and I go downstairs to my lobby, and I leave her leaning against, like, the doorman post, you know, his little reception area. I'm like, I'm gonna go to the cash machine and get cash for the car service. So I come back and Jackie's behind the doorman's reception area. So someone has moved it. And there's a crowd of my neighbors, and they're all men, and they're elated. Terrence, you know, that hot black guy that's always at the parties, and he was like, oh my God, Carl, that made my day. Who is that? Who's the artist? I'm like, that's one of Betty's. And I'm like, see, and I showed him 1970 right there. And I'm like, that's a vibrator she's using. And it was interesting because there was this elevation in energy. And so all the girls are looking at me and we're just kind of laughing. And I'm like, and they won't let us go. And they're like, well, what are you guys doing now? And there's just like a sucks. I'm like, well, we got to go. Our car's here. So I grab Jackie under my arm and I go and I put it in the back of the cab. And then when we get to your house, the cabbie goes and gets it out of the thing. And he hands me and goes, you know, that's really nice.
Oh, you put it in the trunk.
In the trunk. So when he goes, so I go to get it out of the trunk. He's like, no, I'll get it. And he looks at it. And he looks at me and he's like, that's really nice. I'm like, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll tell the artist.
Now, everyone, you have to know that this drawing was done. I really did a very careful, careful rendering of her entire vulva, and I made sure that
clitoris. You could see the clit. No.
Oh, it was
it's
out
big,
there.
It's big, bad clit in your face. It's like Sheila clit in your face. And she's got the panabrator, which is the one that's on your hand.
It's a Oster. It was the
Oster.
It was
it.
The first time they did what they considered to be a modern, you know, sort of for the female market.
And she's got her legs to the side, like they're open, and she's got this on her clit, and she's in the throes of orgasm.
Yep.
And it's all grays. It's pencil.
Yeah, it's drawn with a pencil.
So then I get into your lobby, and I put her down against the wall. I forget why, because Jimmy was like, there's a package, and two of your neighbors, these young guys, stop. And they're like, what's this?
Now, everyone who's listening, I want you to know that Carlin is a flasher. She never turned that drawing in so people
no
couldn't
way.
See it.
No way! Fuck that shit.
She's
I
walking
have no
around,
shame in my game.
She's walking around with Jackie out there in
oh, yeah.
front.
Absolutely. I want to see the reaction. So it's two young guys. One was kind of cute. He looked kind of Israeli with a beard and, like, thick hair. And they're like, are you the artist? And I was like, no, I'm not the artist. If you look, it's 1970. I said, the artist lives in this building. And they're like, really? What apartment? And I said, she's in her 80s. And then Marisa took over. And so it's breaking down your work and giving your history as a sex-positive feminist. And I'm just watching this whole thing thinking, why isn't a camera fucking down here? I should have had cameras
been, yeah.
just follow us with Jackie. Then they're like, it's amazing. And then the one guy goes, she's in really good shape. And then they left.
The drawing, the woman
yeah.
in the...
Jackie goes, she's in really good shape.
Meaning she's got a big clit and it's fully erect, baby.
And she's fucking rotting it. She's riding the orgasm wave. So then we wrap and day two. And I'm going to take it home. And I figured, you know, it just started like... lightly raining, and I'm like, fuck, we're never going to get a cab. So I'm holding Jackie under my arm, and we're trying to get, we can't get the cab. I'm like, okay, ladies, we're going to take the 6 on 28th. Let's go.
No.
I had to take Jackie on the subway.
No.
Yes.
And you, like, faced her out.
But of course, I mean, I'm not, that's just me. That's how I roll. So we're on the
as
subway.
As long as she's getting attention, she'll do anything.
We're on the subway platform, and this 20-something woman of color walks by, and she looks at Jackie, she looks at me and goes, mm-hmm, and just keeps on walking. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It was nothing but positive reactions. Then we get on the subway.
You embarrass me.
I put Jackie between my legs, and I'm holding onto the pole. It's kind of packed, actually. Everyone's on the fucking subway. It's Thursday night. It's 7:30.
Now, this is a piece that is, what, 4 inches, 4 feet?
Four by four? No,
four and a half feet long?
Long by 2 feet, 3 feet, right? And immediately, this woman walks over to me, young woman with her boyfriend, and she's like, where did you get, I love art that's framed like that. Where did you get that done? And I said, oh, I got it at Dugal. I'm like, you can get any image you want. And they print it on the back of plexiglass. I'm like, you can do a photo. So she was just going with, like, the straight, ooh, I love your art. And the boyfriend's looking, and he's smiling. And here's the thing. Everyone was beaming love and smiles. There wasn't one person who looked nasty the whole time. Then a guy sitting right next to me was like, are you the artist? That's their way of, like, talking to you. And went through the same thing. He's like, it's really beautiful. The detail is fabulous. I'm like, oh, thanks. I'll tell the artist. And so at this point, we're just, like, giggling. You know, we just finished day two. You know, we've all been orgasming for 2 hours together. And then I see a bunch of suits get on. And they're sitting a couple of feet away, three or four of them. And in 2 seconds, they're all looking at me, looking at Jackie, looking at the three of us, smiling, laughing. And I have to admit, I did not expect such a positive reaction. I really thought one or two people would say, that's disgusting. There was nothing but love.
Well, that shows you how sex-starved the culture is at this point. Because when I actually exhibited those drawings back in 1970 in a gallery, the gallery owner went nuts. He hung Jackie and he hung Romeo. And that was in the back with, you know, partially covered by a plant. It was considered blasphemy. It really upset people.
Wow.
Really did. And so here you are, 2011.
Walking around with Jackie under my arm through New York City and everyone going to set.
Flashing. Really flashing. I can't.
Bring it on, motherfuckers. I'm ready.
You embarrass me. As you told the story, my face got red. Virgos are basically shy.
I'm not shy.
Obviously, darling.
We're a good partnership.
Whew. No more walking around with my art hanging out like that. Unless
if I could have, I would have taken a cab. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't going out of my way. It just so happened that I was going to have a little fun.
Well,
and I have to admit, I missed her. When everyone comes in my master bath, they're like, ooh, I love her. It's so perfect. It's the perfect piece.
Well,
I love
Jackie. Resent that she's in the bathroom. She should be in the living room.
Well, the only reason I did that is all the walls were kind of already done when I did her. And for me, my master bath and my master bedroom, that's my oasis.
Those three wood things could easily go in the bathroom.
Oh, that's true. But I like her. That's my private oasis. That's where I go. That's my personal chamber. I want it for me.
That she takes on the subway. Okay, baby, that's a wrap. I got to go get some food.